CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. We go to Latin America, to the tri-border area, Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. Emmanuel Ottolenghi of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies introduces us to one city in the tri-border area, Ciudad del Este, which provides an opportunity for prosperity and for money laundering. Money laundering in the news. Emmanuel, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. A man named Hijazi has been detained by the Paraguayan authorities. He is named and sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury. For what? What is his alleged illicit activity? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on the show. Qasem Mohamed Hijazi, according to his designation by the Treasury, is someone who ran a large money laundering network in Paraguay, so on the Paraguayan side of the tri-border area, and who also greased the wheels of these vast scheme of trade, money laundering, money exchange houses by buying off officials who would close an eye or two to the activities of his network. So he was responsible, allegedly, for laundering vast sums of money and also for spreading corruption to buy off the Paraguayan state. Now, this is not unique. It is a common practice in the tri-border area. The TBA traditionally, historically, was an area of smuggling. It is a place where you have three countries, as you said, divided by a T-junction of two large rivers. And in the 60s and 70s, the area became very developed. First, bridges were built to connect the countries one to the other. And then a giant hydroelectric dam was built between Paraguay and Brazil. It's the largest in the world by energy production. And so that created, of course, a lot of development. It brought in a middle class. And last but not least, on one side of the river T-junction, you have the world-famous Iguazu Falls. So there is also a very famous, world-famous tourist attraction. So the area today has more than a million people, three countries, so borders, three currencies, three different jurisdictions, very lax border controls, widespread corruption, a lot of wealth, a lot of cash coming in. And in Ciudad del Este, on the Paraguayan side, you have a free trade zone that sells very affordable brand goods, the kind of which you find in duty-free shops. And it sells them. Sometimes they're authentic, sometimes they're counterfeit, but it's very lucrative business. So a lot of criminal organizations have taken that area to launder money from their criminal proceeds. And those who are very involved in that type of money laundering activity include members of the Shia Lebanese community, which since the early 80s has become a force to reckon with in that area.
Now we connect two strikingly dissimilar governances, the governance of Paraguay and the governance of Lebanon, especially to do with the Hezbollah ruling party in Lebanon. Lebanon is a troubled and nearly failed state. Paraguay is a successful state. And yet, if I understand correctly from your report, Emanuele, Hijazi is a link between them. He was born in Lebanon, and he has strong relationships with the Paraguayan government. Is that correct?
That is correct. You know, one of the interesting things about Paraguay is a successful country by macroeconomic indicators, for sure. It has a stable currency. It has foreign reserves, a very low public debt, very low inflation. At least before the pandemic, it was a growing economy with a lot of promise. It also is a country which has over 25% of its population under the poverty line. So it has some of the typical contradictions you find across Latin America, vast economic inequality, alongside fast development. But what's important to understand Paraguay is that it has traditionally had very weak frontier controls. It is a country that traditionally thrived on contraband and smuggling. There is a lot of submerged black economy sustaining its growth. And a lot of the commercial activities on the frontier that are interconnected with money laundering, contraband, and terror finance are in the hands of a lot of Shia Lebanese merchants with connections to Hezbollah, like Hijazi.
Hijazi is a Brazilian citizen. Is that a factor here, that Brazil is also looking the other way about his conduct?
I think the difference is that in Brazil, there is a mixture of endemic corruption and benign neglect for the periphery of what it is, what is an incredibly vast country with over 19,000 kilometers of borders, which basically borders with almost every country in South America, and an enormous amount of socioeconomic problems to deal with. So the tri-border area is somewhere remote. It's the periphery. The border areas with Paraguay are the periphery, and there is a problem of neglect alongside the local corruption. In Paraguay, the corruption is not endemic. It is systemic. It reaches the highest levels of state. The reason why Hijazi, for example, was able to operate with impunity in the tri-border area for almost two decades, he was first investigated for money laundering in 2004 and got away with it. The reason why is that he and a lot of other members of this community of money laundering merchants, money exchangers, and intermediaries there have politicians, judges, prosecutors, policemen, customs officials in their pay. And it is through that widespread corruption that they manage to sustain their operations and their prosperity.
He was arrested by Paraguayan authorities, and within hours, as you report, he was charged with any corruption sanctions by the U.S. Why did they arrest him, given the comfortable relationship between the government and Hijazi's conduct?
It's a great question. There are two reasons, I think. The first, made public, is that the U.S. presented an extradition request. So clearly, his money laundering activities went through the financial system in the U.S. and therefore created the basis for a U.S. investigation and a U.S. jurisdictional claim. Now, the Paraguayans have a history of not being very proactive in fighting money laundering because of the relationship we discussed between the politics and the crime, but they value the U.S. alliance a lot. And so when the U.S. requests to extradite somebody, the Paraguayans are solicitous. That's their record. The second reason is that Paraguay currently is under the microscope of the Financial Action Task Force, which is a kind of a global watchdog against money laundering and terror finance weaknesses in the legislative, regulatory, and financial systems of countries. So they're examining Paraguay's ability to combat organized crime, corruption, money laundering, and terror finance. They're in country right now verifying how Paraguay is coping. And so I think the Paraguayans felt that they had to show off their willingness to fight this phenomenon. But it's clear that the combination of the arrest after extradition request and sanctions makes this chiefly an American, a U.S. initiative.
Final thought. I've witnessed a video of Ciudad del Este. It looks like a really happy place to live. Did I see it correctly, or was that distorted?
Look, you know, the whole of Latin America, if you have the resources and you're within the right social bracket, is a phenomenally beautiful place to live. The problem with Ciudad del Este, as well as the rest of Latin America with gradations, is economic inequalities, the widespread presence of organized crime, environmental degradation, corruption, and lack of strong democratic governance. If you can fix those problems, and it's no small feat, then it would be a wonderful place to live.
A feudal state in the 21st century, Emmanuel Ottolenghi for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy and the Tri-Border Area, TBA. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.